We'll be looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 30, and particularly verses 18, 19, and 20, but we'll also get the context from the beginning of chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy that those who are athletes do not get the prize, that is, they don't get the victor's prize, and of late we would note, would we not, that that would be a gold medal, the Olympics coming to an end, and the athletes do not get the prize if they do not participate in their athletic event according to the rules. The young lady who was supposedly the fastest woman in the world, having won the 100-meter dash and the 200-meter dash, came in third in the long jump because on one of her jumps at least, her toe was over the board, over the line, and she didn't jump according to the rules, and so that jump was disqualified. You have to participate in accordance with the rules in order to win the prize. And it's of no small consequence that Paul uses that kind of analogy in the New Testament with Timothy. And we need to understand, each one of us, that God does set forward in His Word certain parameters, certain guidelines, certain rules, if you will, by which, if we follow them properly, we will find Him. Seek Him according to the rules. That's the topic. And as we enter that topic, as we look at this idea a little bit more thoroughly this morning, I want you to understand that God does have us seek Him according to certain rules. And I want you to understand also that although there is a criticism which is leveled against this idea, the criticism being that we're producing, as it were, a kind of Pharisee in this construction, that that's a false criticism, that there is no merit attached to the fact that we follow certain guidelines, we need to understand that that's the case. And I think it's pretty plain that that's the case from the Bible. Let me just briefly say that in running a race, if you don't follow the rules, you are disqualified from the race. There's no merit in following the rules. It's just how you have to do it in order to get to the end of the line and to the finish line to win the course. And so that's what we're talking about this morning. And we're talking about it this morning from the Old Testament and from the book of Chronicles, once again, and this time from 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And we get the background in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 to the idea of seeking the Lord. Let's read the first six verses of 2 Chronicles 30. Now Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. For the king and his princes and all the assembly in Jerusalem had decided to celebrate the Passover in the second month. Since they could not celebrate it at that time, because the priests had not consecrated themselves in sufficient numbers, nor had the people been gathered to Jerusalem. Thus the thing was right in the sight of the king and all the assembly. So they established a decree to circulate a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to celebrate the Passover to the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not celebrated it in great numbers as it was prescribed. The couriers went throughout all Israel and Judah with the letters from the hand of the king and his princes, even according to the command of the king, saying, O sons of Israel, return to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may return to those of you who have escaped and are left from the hand of the kings of Assyria. King Hezekiah brought about reforms in Judah. There had been devastation in the land. And the previous king, Ahaz, had gone into a treaty, had effected a treaty with Tiglath-Pileser, the Assyrian. And there had been an overrunning of both Israel and portions of Judah. And many were taken into captivity. And when Hezekiah became king, he instituted reforms, as we read in the previous chapter, and had the sacrifices reinstituted in the temple. The temple doors had been closed, if you can imagine. The church doors had been closed. And now Hezekiah reestablished the worship of God. And because in God's providence of the way in which the sacrifices had been reestablished, it came about that Hezekiah determined with others to send a letter out into all the land, into the northern kingdom and throughout Judah. Come to Jerusalem. Come before the face of God and celebrate the Passover of our God. And then you'll notice in chapter 30 and verses 10 and following, the reaction that was given. So the couriers passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh and as far as Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them when the couriers went out and invited the people in all of Israel and in Judah, come to Jerusalem and worship the Lord God. The answer was, give me a break. Come on, we got better things to do. And they mocked the couriers. And that happens sometimes today. Come with me to church. Come and worship the Lord. Oh, I got better things to do. The Chiefs are playing today, or we were out at a ball game late last night. Give me a break. And so it goes. And that was the answer. Verse 11, nevertheless, some men of Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. The hand of God was also on Judah to give them one heart to do what the king and the princes commanded by the word of the Lord. Here it was that God gave them a heart, as we mentioned last week, briefly looking at this text. God gave them a heart to come to Jerusalem, to enter into the festivities, to seek the face of God. And so it should be that we would pray, dear friends, that God would give us a heart to seek His face. And that's one reason we're going over these texts in 2 Chronicles at the moment that have to do with seeking the Lord. May the great God of heaven give us a heart and one heart to seek His face and to come before Him and to worship Him. I'm astounded by the fact that John Calvin said in one of his tracts that one of the most important reformations that needed to take place in the church was a reformation of worship. And he placed that before the reformation of the gospel, which is quite astounding, a reformation of worship. And so it is today that we need to come before God in worship. But we notice in this text that many of the priests and Levites and many of the people, as they responded to the call to come and worship, and this would be in the Old Testament economy, did not properly sanctify themselves, prepare themselves for the worship of God. And if you drop down in Second Chronicles chapter 32, verses 18, 19, and 20, you see that this is the case. For the multitude of the people, even many from Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not purified themselves, yet they ate the Passover otherwise than prescribed. For Hezekiah prayed for them. And note what he prayed. For Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, May the good Lord pardon everyone who prepares his heart to seek the Lord God of his fathers, though not according to the purification rules of the sanctuary. So the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. And this is what I'm interested in this morning. That the people were called to seek the face of God. And many of them came. And there was a great assembly. And many of the priests did not consecrate themselves properly to do the sacrifices. And so Levites stepped in to do the work of the sons of Aaron, the priests, because it says they were more conscientious than the priests. And they performed many of the sacrificial duties. And many people came and ate the Passover, not properly consecrated. And if you look at some of the cross references, you'll realize that one of the things may have been that they came not having been circumcised, not having celebrated the Passover services previously. They were an irreligious people. And they had not been following the laws of Moses. They had not been following the Word of God. They were a very irreligious people. Kind of reminds you of America today, doesn't it? Where the churches were full in days gone by, and the gospel was vigorously preached from all the pulpits, and the nation was a religious nation, a Christian people, and there was a Christian undergirding of the populace and of the culture and of the society. And now we are preeminently an irreligious people. And so it was among the people of Judah. And so the king, because the people came, not having followed the word of God, he prays. Verse 18, the end of the verse again. May the good Lord pardon everyone who prepares his heart to seek God. Yes, they came to seek the Lord. But may the good Lord pardon everyone who prepares his heart to seek the Lord, the God of his fathers, though not according to the purification rules of the sanctuary. And I would submit to you, dear friends, that if the king of the nation felt constrained before God to ask the forgiveness of God for the people as they sought the Lord, yes, but not according to the guidelines God has given. If Hezekiah felt constrained to ask the forgiveness of God, wouldn't it be important then for us to understand that there are guidelines, there are parameters, there are rules to be followed? Is it too difficult for us to understand that this is the case? Seek the Lord according to the rules. If you don't run the race according to the rules, you don't get the prize. It should not be difficult, oh dear friends, to realize that this is the case. And as I say at the head of the outline, do not seek the Lord willy-nilly. This is what we do today. Do not seek the Lord willy-nilly according to your own whims. I can go to the golf course, it's just as good. I can putt on the green, it's just as good. I can go out in the country. Church is not important. How many times have we heard it? Do not seek the Lord willy-nilly, according to your own whims. Seek Him the way God Himself reveals in His Word. That's what it's about. That's what I want us to get. And I want us to look, in accordance with this principle, I want us to look at four different texts in Scripture that have to do with this, and I want us to relate those texts to 2 Chronicles 30 and verses 18 and 19 particularly. Okay? So work with me on this. Please turn, if you would, to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew chapter 7. These are words of Jesus that we're looking at. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. How often we've read these words. How often we've thought of these words. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is broad, that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow, that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The way is narrow. Some of you will remember, several years ago, we had on our sign downtown these words from this text in Matthew 7. The gate is narrow. The way is narrow. And then I had on that sign a question. Is Jesus too narrow for you? The Bible says the way is narrow. There is a way. And it's a narrow way. A prominent member of the community wanted to know if that question was directed at him. My reaction is, if the shoe fits, wear it. The way is narrow. There is a way. Jesus says there is a way. You wander out of the way, you're not going to get to the end of the track. Christian, in Bunyan's book, goes on a narrow way with many difficulties to get to the narrow gate to approach the hill upon which is the cross before his burden is lifted. The way is narrow. Back to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Listen to these verses again. The prayer of Hezekiah. May the good Lord pardon everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though not according to the purification rules of the sanctuary. Seek the Lord according to his way. What's so difficult about that? That's the lesson. Let's look at another text. John chapter 14 and verse 6. I'd like you to look at the text. Some of you could easily quote it, but please look at it with me. The Bible is our training aid. The words of the Bible are words that we should see with our eyes and look at and not only hear. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said, I am the way. The way is narrow. There is no other way to heaven. No other way. Except through Jesus Christ. Despite what others may say, And despite what the popular culture may say, and despite what Ted Turner may say, getting on national television and denigrating Christianity and saying to people that that abhorrent religion ought to be wiped from the face of the earth, or words to that effect. Jesus said, I am the way. And you must come to God by trusting Jesus Christ. And you must seek the face of God by coming into the throne room of God by Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we may be saved. No other name. Seek the Lord according to His way, His rules. You see, it's not too difficult. That's the principle. And I would challenge you, is there some merit that is accrued by us if we determine to seek the face of God through Jesus Christ? Do we get anything because of our own merit? No, that's ridiculous. We know that that's not the case. We trust Jesus Christ. We come to God through Jesus Christ. The way is narrow. Jesus is the way. Seek the face of God according to His rules. And one of the rules is through Christ. And when we come to worship, we come to worship and come before God, not because we're anything good, certainly we are not, but we come because God has called us. And we come in the blessed name of Jesus. And we enter into the very presence of the most holy God through our Savior, who is in heaven as our advocate, and we stand in the most holy presence of God. Hallelujah. Seek the Lord according to His way, His rule. And then, look if you would at an Old Testament text, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. See, you don't seek God willy-nilly according to your own way, according to your own desires. You seek God according to His principles, according to His dictates, according to what He outlines in Scripture. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. Well, His ways are the ways of righteousness. His ways are set forth in His Word. His ways are set forth in His moral law. That's not too difficult for us to understand either. And the wicked The wicked walk in their own ways. They don't walk in the ways of the Word of God. See, we're not talking about something which is out here in la-la land. You have to have some special perception to get the ways of God here. That's not what the Scriptures are talking about. The ways of God are set forth in His Word. And we follow His ways. The way is narrow. The way is Jesus. The way is in His Word. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Friends, call upon Him. So as we look into His Word, as we are gathered together for worship, we can seek His face in a particular way and call upon Him as a body. I was teaching a class at Sangre de Cristo Seminary, and one of the young men said to me, "Well, I don't get it. Because you say if you're going to talk to people about Jesus Christ, that you should tell them to seek the face of God and seek God through Jesus Christ. And you should tell them if they're a couple that are living together and are not married, break off that relationship. You're in adultery. Break it off. Do what's right." Well, you can't tell them to do that. They have to get converted first before you can tell them to do that. What's your proof text, Pastor? So it's Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. How are you going to return to the Lord? By staying in the swamp of sin. You have to come out of that. To walk away from sin. You have to repent of sin. Come to Christ. Come to God. Seek Him according to His way. Do not seek the Lord willy-nilly according to your own ideas about getting there, about getting to heaven. Seek the Lord as He outlines. The way is narrow, Jesus says. Jesus says, "I am the way," and we must trust and follow Him. The Bible says the way is outlined in the Word, and we must follow that Word. Seek the Lord according to the rules. Amen.